Well, we are the big, big show from your hometown. We're the Great Northern Radio Show here at the historic Hibbing High School Auditorium, newly remodeled, renovated, and we're here on the Mesabi Iron Range. Tonight's special broadcast is made possible in part by the Hibbing Foundation in partnership with Hibbing Community Education. Thank you. The show is also made possible in part by the Hibbing Park Hotel and Grandma's in the Park Bar and Restaurant. Thank you. Now, I've got to say, we've done the Great Northern Radio Show in a lot of different places. Library, armory, we did one at a barn, and we've done quite a few from high schools and colleges around the area, but we've never done one quite in a place like this. There are, for those of you listening, crystal chandeliers hanging off this ceiling. The hall is dripping with the history of this special town in northern Minnesota. And here to tell us about this special place is a friend of the show, someone who spends a lot of time explaining it to people who visit. This is Mary Paulsich Keyes. And Mary writes the history column for the Hibbing Daily Tribune, and I know I read that every week. She's a leader with the Hibbing Historical Society and gives a lot of tours. And we are here in a hall, Mary, that began really because the town had to be moved from the old North Hibbing site to its current location. And as part of the deal struck by many, including Mayor Victor Power of Hibbing at the time, the mining companies built this beautiful high school and the beautiful city hall as an enticement for the townsfolk to move south. So tell us what we're looking at, Mary.
Well, you are looking at an auditorium, a theater, unlike probably anything anywhere else. The entire building was began in 1920, 21, 22, 23, and finally this auditorium and the school library were dedicated in 1924. This auditorium seats 1,800 people between the balcony and the main floor. And the seats that everybody is sitting in tonight have just come back from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where they spent the summer being reupholstered and having new springs put in them. And this is the first time that the seats have been reupholstered off-site. They have been reupholstered before, but this time they all went to Michigan. New carpet that is down on the floor. I hope you all appreciated it as you were coming in. I don't even want to walk on it.
Looks like wheat.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. All the way through. There, throughout the building is golden oak, which is not harvested anymore because it takes too long for the trees to grow. So this is very rare wood that you're seeing all around. And you'll notice above the doors, the exit signs, those are Tiffany glass in golds and reds. And also those fireboxes that you see on each side of the stage that say for fire. If, God forbid, there would be a fire, you do not break the glass. You open the door.
Yes.
And pull out the fire hose that's inside. We also have, just below us here, this big blue box-looking thing. This is a Barton organ. There were only three of these built in America. This was originally in a theater in Chicago. It was bought by the school district and brought here in 1921. And it was rebuilt in the bicentennial year, 1976, to go from being a theater organ to a concert organ. And behind what I call the cross hatchings on each side of the stage here, you will find 2,000 organ pipes. You will also find snare drums, harp, harpsichord, bird whistles, train whistles, and they can all be played from this console. So next time you come back,
I guess we need to use that.
You need to get somebody to play
that
organ.
I didn't know we were allowed to. Seems like it was kind of off limits.
No, it is, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It cost, by the way, $26,000 when it was bought, and like I said, there's only three of them, so it's a rare bird. Then you look up the ceiling, and this is what's called an Adams ceiling, which refers to the garlands and the vases, that design that's up there. And you have to imagine that the Italian artisans who did this all by hand in the 1920s, imagine them like Michelangelo up there on the top of the scaffolding doing that work and doing that painting, and that's remarkable in of itself. And in a school of miracles, I always think the greatest miracle of all are those chandeliers. There are four large ones, two mediums here in the auditorium, two more out in the hallway, and then there's nine small ones under the balcony and up in the balcony. The large ones hang 65 feet above the floor of the auditorium. They are 7 feet across, 10 feet in diameter, and they weigh 600 pounds apiece. The bronze...
Don't worry, everybody. They're really safe.
They're very safe. They're very safe. The bronze came from a factory in Belgium. The crystal came from a crystal factory in Czechoslovakia that was bombed by the Nazis in the Second World War and never rebuilt, so they truly are irreplaceable. So the brass comes and the crystal come to New York City, where they're joined together into these remarkable chandeliers. They're put in a packing case on a train and brought to Hibbing, Minnesota, and hung up, and there they are almost 100 years later. They can be lowered. It takes about an hour to lower them down because you have to go very slowly so the crystal doesn't break. And they come down, and then it takes one person 3 days to clean each piece of crystal, polish the bronze, change out the 48 light bulbs that are in the large ones, and then it takes almost 2 hours to slowly raise them back. And I've decided I'm too old to watch that anymore. My heart won't take that. This is a huge proscenium. This was built as a professional stage, and everybody from the Boston Pops to the Minnesota Symphony Orchestra to New York opera companies and to wonderful high school and college performances have been held on this stage. And now you are all a part of the spirit of this place, and we're so glad to have you all here.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Mary Paul Sitch-Keys.